You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Comedy Cellar Show here on Sirius XM Channel 99.
Yes.
And we're here with, of course,
the very beautiful Miss Kristen Rodriguez.
Gonzalez?
Yes.
Are you Kristen Gonzalez now?
Not officially, no. I'm waiting for my passport.
She's waiting for him to dissolve his other marriage.
She keeps that option up.
Yeah, exactly. We're traveling. My marriage certificate says Gonzalez, but I just haven't changed all my documents yet.
He's a real Puerto Rican. He needs two annulments before it's official.
We got to sell some more tires before.
Does that automatically change? Like, you have to make an effort to change.
It's like a huge process.
It used to be automatic. I would imagine 100 years ago it was automatic.
When my father's buried right across the street from my house. The old house, and I didn't know that it didn't automatically change. And one day Juanita came home all excited, and she says, "I just got in the mail. I'm officially a Dwarman." I said, "I know, the cemetery called." Anyway, go ahead. Finish the introductions.
See, Kristen, she's doing it the way you're supposed to do it.
Not.
The other way around.
He's going to change.
Cemetery called.
We have.
It was a disturbance. Yes. Go ahead.
Well, Colin, we've already, for those who know Colin Quinn, they recognize the voice of the unmistakable Colin Quinn, who we're honored to have among us today, and Esty Adoram.
Adoram.
Is it Adoram?
Yeah.
Well, either way, she's been called the most feared woman in comedy. I don't agree with that.
She's the most adored woman in comedy.
She's also the most feared. We were just talking about it the other day, right, Esty?
No.
I said, we were.
No.
I said, I was literally afraid to cancel. And I came in late last week, and I'm so happy that Esty had to do something. She wasn't in when I was late for my spot. And then we talk about, here's how you know she's the most feared woman in comedy.
You were not late. You just didn't make it.
I was 10 minutes late. But I ended up, instead of being a chiseler and going on for 5 minutes, I was like, nah, that's all right. I didn't miss my spot. I could have tried to chisel.
But you sure that?
No. So then, but I said the ultimate evidence. This is the evidence. This solves it. I rest my case if this. Nick DiPaolo, a man who has spent his whole life spoiling for fights with any women.
Right.
Literally said to me like 6 years ago, yeah, I want to cancel, but I want to wait till Esty's not there so I don't have to talk to her. You know, it's scary when you're trying to cancel. Nick DiPaolo! What does that tell you?
But he loves me.
They
he
do
loves
that, actually.
You, but that says it all.
Like the black comics, they'll call in when Esty's not here, when they have to cancel, and they talk to Val, and it drives Esty crazy.
First of all, I don't believe you that they call in when they have to cancel.
Yeah, they do.
I don't think it's fear, though. I think they don't want to disappoint her.
Whatever.
It's a combination of things.
Then Esty gets mad at Val because she thinks like Val's like moving in on her like actually it's not Val's fault.
They'd rather
think that Val's trying to take over
No, here's the beauty of Esty. The beauty of it is
it's
even though she loves us.
I know, third person.
She literally gives you no quarter when you cancel. She's like, okay.
Does she know who you are?
That's what I love about it, though. She doesn't have a phony bone in her body.
Thank you.
No phony bone.
She looked at me as if I say there's a phony bone. She was like, you see?
You have a phony bone in your body.
So anyway, Colin, I don't know if you want to talk about it, but we had to thank Colin because Colin emceed our second political debate, and he was fantastic. The video's on YouTube, by the way, in the Comedy Channel. Comedy
how many hits do we got?
Nine, I think.
the debate was...
I just put it up yesterday.
The debate was, is America in decline? Because, you know, Trump's always talking about make America great again, and I said to Noam, well, a lot of people are saying, well... America's still great. When was it greater?
It's actually true. You did inspire the topic, actually. You're absolutely right.
Okay, so I inspired, and then Noam said, let's have a debate about it.
Right. So I want to plug Kevin Brennan's podcast, Misery Loves Company.
Isn't it early for a plug? Are we doing? Is this going that badly?
No, and I don't know.
There's a word you heard called momentum. Anyway,
are you 5 minutes
in? He's plugging a podcast.
Wow. Are you aware of the whole Kevin Brennan Lenny Marcus feud?
Yes, I'm as aware as the average person in the country, which is most of us.
Are you team Kevin or team Lenny? Because Esty and I had a big fight.
Oh,
today.
I didn't know there was a feud.
I didn't know there was a team.
I know that Kevin's feuding with everybody else.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Kevin's at war But I didn't know. But they're still doing their podcast, right? Is it on the air?
Yeah, Liz is here. Yeah, but they're still doing a podcast, but they're fighting over money. They fight about money on the podcast, right?
Liz probably is the expert on this subject, yeah. Right?
And Kevin wants 60%, and Lenny wants 40%. And Esty is outraged.
Wait, you should it be 50-50?
Exactly.
No, Lenny wants 50-50 in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kevin wants 60-40.
Yeah, Kevin will settle for 60-40, yeah.
Yeah, settle, because it started that he wanted it all at first, according to Lenny.
Yeah.
I didn't discuss it with Kevin. And then he settled on 60-40. And I think he's wrong. Listen. If they are partners, and if people do want to hear the outrageousness of Kevin, that's fine. But you have two people that went into it, and they're equal. Now, if it becomes Opie and Anthony, equal. Now, one is more marketable than the other, eventually. Okay. Right now, I don't think it's right that to diminish Lenny and his importance.
Liz, you hear this? You
get a contribution?
Esty is waxing poetic about Lenny Marcus and his contributions to the podcast.
I want to know how they're getting paid to do a podcast.
There's no money. You know how much money they make?
Good point.
Where's the money?
But the thing is that there is no goodwill on the part of Kevin towards Lenny or anybody else for that matter.
Anyway, that's been Kevin's nature since the beginning of time.
Everybody needs to listen to this podcast. It's hilarious. Listen, I think it should be 50-50 too. And I told Kevin actually called me for advice, and I told him it should be 50-50.
And he didn't take it.
But why are they arguing about theoretical money?
Because that was my point.
I don't understand.
They're arguing about Bitcoin.
Because when you go into business with somebody, you don't go into business and say, we'll discuss it later. You go into business saying, hey, no,
but
let's
they were
talk about
in the
it.
Business.
No, this is classic. They started out agreeing to 50-50, and then Kevin started to renegotiate before the first dollar
came in.
When
there's money, then that'll be a problem.
Well, how
Until
about
then,
you try to resolve it before there's money, so you know when there's money, it's
there's
resolved.
There's no point. There's no point.
Of course
there's
a point.
He hasn't trashed you. You know what? He doesn't. It's kind of hands off on me, hands off on SD, and hands off on Colin Quinn.
Well,
you're talking about you should alert the listeners.
He trashes everybody.
But well, Colin is untouchable. He's the sort of the
the Godfather.
The Godfather of the comedy.
You guys are really loading up Kevin right now.
He's gonna go.
Who's this fucking Godfather asshole?
Not, yeah.
Wait, I heard somebody do your somebody. I should say. So I think somebody stole one of your jokes.
What?
Somebody did this thing about the A-Train and the ski lift.
Oh. Well.
Right, am I right?
Who is that?
I don't want to say the two jokes.
I mean,
comedians here?
Yeah, not only one of our comedians here, but a comedian who actually started trouble with another comedian because the other comedian implied that you and he were doing the same joke.
Oh,
that comedian
who
had your back and was ready to fight for you was on stage doing the joke about the A-Train and the ski lift ticket.
Realize this now? Like, it just came to
you? Yeah, it just happened this weekend.
What are the two jokes so that we can decide as a jury?
No, it was exactly the same joke, almost
verbatim. My joke is that I go, the A-Train, you're on the A-Train now. It looks like a ski lift. 2 o'clock in the morning looks like a ski lift.
Tell me how Brooklyn has changed so much.
So many white people.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
He told the exact same joke.
So you're saying because everybody's white, it looks like a ski lift.
Yes. Yeah.
That is a specific enough reference where I'd be highly suspicious. I think
he's been doing it for 2 years.
Yeah.
And who else would think of a ski lift as a reference? I mean, it's not a general. If it said it looked like a country club, I would say, well, that's a reference anybody might come up with.
Yeah.
A ski lift, I would say, I'd be air on the side if he stole it, but I'm willing to hear his side of the story.
Now, what are we supposed to do about that? What's
our
responsibility?
I need to know who it is.
Well, if he's famous,
will you come whisper in her ear?
If he's more famous than Colin, what you do is you tell Colin that he can't work. Can't work for him.
That is true. That is the law of the jungle.
Colin. You know, if it's Amy Schumer, you say, Amy, that's your joke. I don't care.
What do you think, Esty?
I'll take care of it.
She doesn't remember who it was.
Oh,
I'll take care of it.
I'll tell you who it was.
I know who it was. I just knew from his hint.
Okay. It's problem solved.
Problem solved.
You're saying get
rid of the lineup.
You're saying get rid of this individual.
Exactly.
All right. So apparently it's not Amy Schumer. So.
Oh, then I'm gonna get you for that.
What?
I'm gonna. Don't start with that.
No,
what
that's not
what
he's.
That's not what I meant. Is that it's somebody that's not that we don't value as important at the comedy store, or that you don't, or that.
No, he thought you were making reference to that other issue out there.
Yeah. No, that has nothing to do with it. I'm
well,
just saying
what?
That.
You're like that French.
Come on.
You French comedians are always the same. It's just like that guy saying, I didn't mean a Woody Allen rape joke.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
What'd you think about that?
The guy at Cannes, remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cannes? How do you say it? What is the actual pronunciation?
The way I said it, Cannes.
Cannes.
No, what did I say?
No, I don't know. I'm not. My pronunciation's not good.
It's Cannes?
I have a terrible pronunciation.
He's just dressed like a French mime. He doesn't know exactly.
What I meant by that, can I just defend myself? No, because
just like yeah,
she. When I think of people that are indispensable here at the Comedy Cellar, the first name that comes to mind is Amy Schumer. So when you said we'll just get rid of him, I said, well, then it couldn't.
Guess
be
Guess what,
Schumer.
Dan? Nobody, none of us are indispensable. The Comedy Cellar is its own entity.
You're right.
Esty's indispensable.
That's what I mean. I'm saying no comedians. No. The Comedy Cellar is its own entity.
That is true. But there are
that's
some.
Not true. Not true.
Where this place is bigger than all comedians, and everyone here should know
that.
The graveyards are filled with irreplaceable men.
That's correct.
It's larger than the sum of its parts.
Now we're getting to something very interesting. Esty believes there are some indispensable people here at the Comedy Cellar.
Oh, come now.
Maybe I need to take insurance policies on these people.
What am I going to do when they go? People are untouchable. I'm not going to use it.
What was saying indispensable?
Untouchable.
Esty, let's put
Colin
it this.
Is untouchable.
Colin is untouchable.
But guys, guess
untouchable.
What? What I'm trying to say is this: if I died tonight, God forbid.
God forbid.
If I died tonight, please. Cellar would sell out every weekend and do just as well as it's doing.
We might even do better.
The publicity.
I mean, trending topics and everything. Have a big memorial.
Noam and myself, we had a conversation about Amy.
I defended Amy publicly on Facebook.
So do I.
We all did.
So
all
do
right. I. Isn't that a funny world? Me too, of course. Well, hey, all those jokes, if anything, the only problem Amy should have with any of it is that those jokes, some of them were generic, and a lot of people could have done it.
That's what I said.
She should be embarrassed about that. She didn't steal nothing.
Right, here is the question, though, because this
except
came up.
Except the Wendy Liebman joke. That was a little close. The rest of them.
That was, whatever.
Well, how do you account for that?
Well, I mean, I think she probably heard it in the 90s exactly. When she was drunk in college and she forgot. It's only one joke.
Well, this is what I, this is my question.
It could happen to
question.
Anybody.
This is my question.
I tell my own sons.
And this this came up with me now. So Chuck Martin is friends with one of the women that accused
Amy of.
Oh.
And then Chuck weighed in the Twitter thing.
Yeah.
And Esty's
horrible.
And in the Twitter sphere.
Esty is furious with him.
I am.
And my attitude with Esty, listen.
Well, watch out, he seems like he's got a real temper.
Chuck Martin. my attitude with him.
He really surprised me. I didn't think that he's that kind of a guy that would stir up the pot, and that's what he was doing.
Well,
so my attitude with him was that I think it's ridiculous that Amy would steal jokes.
It's
but
absurd.
He's friends with the guy, and if he wants to say something, I'm not going to consider that part of his. I'm not going to consider his behavior when I consider whether he's still in good standing at the Comedy Cellar. That's between him and Amy and this guy, and you know, I know. I can't get involved in that.
But it's very telling when he piped in the way he did.
But he's apparently, and Kurt Metzger defended him. Kurt Metzger said, look, he's close friends with this female comedian.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think he's...
between the Italians, you know? It's like Goodfellas. No,
but you wouldn't let that get into your way of booking him, would you?
Maybe.
I would if I thought he did something that he had no right to do, but I'm very reluctant to hold somebody's honest opinion and expression of their honest opinion against them. It's like, none of my business what your opinion is.
Noam, you've always prided yourself, and I haven't had this discussion ever with Esty, but you've made it a point numerous times that you completely separate personal feelings from booking decisions.
Yes.
I mean, other than an outrageous case of somebody, you know, coming in and beating you over the head with an aluminum bat, you probably would stop using him. But anything short of that, you pretty much, if you don't like the guy at all, you will use him if you think he's funny in the room.
For the most part, yeah.
And so even if you thought
OJ Hussein was funny.
Yeah, but that wasn't the
heartbeat.
Then that wasn't the issue. The question was how I felt about him doing it.
Okay,
it has nothing to do with the booking.
Right. It did have to do with the booking.
It just... No, well, originally when I heard it, but not in our conversation today.
No, not today.
What bothered me is that it was vicious, it was unnecessary, it was public, it was super public, and I took exception to it.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what the right thing to do is. You know, I want to defend
it's
Amy.
It's nothing.
I don't want to take sides in every...
I was going to say, but in this thing, I mean, this stuff happens every other week.
You'd be doing this all day long. Amy eviscerated him all on her own. She tore him to shreds.
Did she?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing. I mean, Amy handled it. It rolled right off of her. You know, she doesn't need us.
Yeah, but, you know, with all of that...
This is why she's the most feared woman in comedy, by the way. Everybody's afraid to say the wrong thing. Go ahead, Essie.
No, it's not. It's not the wrong thing. I was just giving my opinion.
She's allowed, yeah.
And the surprise... that individual came up the way he did. If you would have told me Kevin did it, I wouldn't be surprised. I would just like,
it is true. He is this mild-mannered guy.
Yes, he is.
He is this sweet, mild-mannered, quiet individual.
Friend of Tom Papa.
And then suddenly he
another fraud.
He got his claws out.
I know.
You know? That's literally how I saw it. I saw it, this quiet, nice, very nice guy. Suddenly this claws came out. And really, totally, totally, unnecessarily stirring the pot.
You'd see him...
That's how I saw it. Yeah. And if I see it that way, I'll express it that way.
You'd see him maybe gossiping like in a small-town Iowa diner in the morning. Like at 6:30 a.m. It's like, oh, there he goes again, old Chuck.
No, I mean, really.
All right, let's not spend all day on it. We get it. We all agree, right?
You agree?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right.
Well, no, we don't agree, but...
We agree that you don't have to air you. You don't put your dirty laundry in public, Frank.
No, but I don't agree in that I like Noman. You know, if he's friends with these people and felt that an injustice was done and...
We know Amy. She's not a joke thief.
She's not a joke thief.
You know how many times I want to say to Essie, never let anyone outside the family know what you're thinking again. I want all, we went on the radio today, Essie and I, on the Bennington show. She trashed the improv.
I did not trash
it. She called it, she said it looks like a cafeteria.
I gave you a compliment.
Thank you.
So that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Gee whiz, don't invite me.
Keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
If you don't want to hear my opinion, don't invite me.
She's got a point.
Anyway.
All right. So go on. So back to Kevin, Brandon, and Lenny. That's how this whole started.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think better of that line because no one's really aware of the backstory, but I'm fascinated by the feud between Kevin. I'm fascinated by Kevin, Brandon, in general.
I love it. I love the fact that it's taken off and that he's making the classic Martin and Lewis mistake early on. He doesn't understand.
That's right.
Every action needs a positive and a negative. That's what works great together.
Well, exactly. I think Lenny's about to make the classic Suzanne Somers mistake.
I can do it on my own.
they're nothing without me.
The mistake they're both making is not having a feud with somebody that everybody else cares about. They're both feuding with people that nobody gives a shit about. If you want to make feuds happen.
She's got a good point.
I love the
point. She makes a good point.
Let's be honest.
That, I don't know. Whatever opinions I have about either that or the Emmy thing, whatever, it all boils down to decency. You need to be decent.
I agree with that.
And he is not.
Kevin's not. Chuck Martin. There's so many people.
All of them.
The improv.
All of the above.
That's where I come from.
You know, you are like a Polish Jewish Kevin Brennan sometimes, Esty. You should do your own rant.
Just to be clear, for the listeners who may not be intimately familiar with Kevin's podcast. Kevin's basically trashing everybody at the Comedy Cellar except for a few people.
He trashed Seinfeld. He trashed everybody
in the
business.
He's trashing everybody.
He trashed Seinfeld on his stupid fucking private plane.
I think it's
He says, what are you talking about on that plane? You know, Who's he talking to? What's that?
Who's he talking to when he says
that? To Chuck Martin. He said,
Chuck Martin was on Kim Brennan.
But I think it's marvelous, to be honest with you. I mean, at least he's being honest. Because there's so many people in our business that are just nice to the right people because they're the right people and you have to be nice to them. And he's being honest. And also...
like the Donald Trump of podcasts now, yeah. Basically, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
He's just saying what the common man wants to hear.
He's saying what a lot of people are thinking.
It's nice to see people... it's nice to see fish find their water, you know?
And
Kevin Brennan is like... I'm sorry, but so when I see Kevin Brennan doing that podcast and saying exactly what's on his mind, I say, this is what he was meant to do. This is Kevin Brennan. It's like when Colin does his one-man shows, he's like, oh, my God, this is...
he's perfectly, this is what he really wants to, like, this is perfect. You know, it's like a perfect thing.
And also.
And unfortunately, Colin's thing is brilliant and Kevin's thing is it's trashing people, but, you know, it's still, it's
also,
still
this
real.
Also, this is Kevin, as I see it, his only chance to break through.
Yes.
Because being not saying these things hasn't worked in the 25 years he's been doing comedy. So this might work. I don't know if it will or not.
Let me ask you, don't you think that he brings it to a different level to get noticed? It's not just a question of being honest.
Well,
it's being, let me see how outrageous I can get so I can get noticed.
I don't know because I can't read Kevin's mind. It sounds sincere to me. I don't know. You know,
it's his career. And who breaks through being a watered-down version of themselves? The most likely way to break through is if you can somehow be, you know, be the full version of yourself. And he'd never been able to do that. Now he is. That's what I think. I don't know. Now am I wrong?
Yeah, of course. Especially now.
He's yesing me, or you really believe that?
He's yesing you.
I think he is, yeah.
How could anyone argue with the fact that what you just said? Who breaks through being a watered-down version of himself? Nobody.
Yeah. Exactly. So that.
Why would I yesing that?
So what I detected was that he thought it was just an obvious point. That's what wasn't
I mean,
in agreement.
I mean, it is to a certain extent.
It is.
But it's worth reminding oneself.
No, yeah.
But do you think that...
Dan says, oh, he's being now honest, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that he is... It's beyond being honest.
Well,
let me see how hard
shock
can I...
value.
Exactly.
Well, we could say the same thing.
Exactly.
I mean, the analogy with Trump is apropos there because we don't really know what he really thinks and what's just for publicity, but he does sound damn sincere when I listen to him, I'll tell you that. He might be pushing. He's probably
sincere.
Pushing it a little bit further than it would normally.
No, he's not. He's sincere as a crazy person can be. I mean, he's sincere. It's crazy, but it's sincere.
All of show business is a heightened version.
He wakes up in the middle of the night. His wife is sleeping. He opens up his credit card bill. He sees $31, Louis C.K. This is on his Visa bill.
True.
He fucking loses his shit because his wife bought Horace and Pete.
Yeah.
And he starts rapid fire texting his wife, who's sleeping, like 8 or 9 texts, like cursing her out.
But why is he mad?
Yeah.
He doesn't like
Louis
C.K.
Because he doesn't want
Louis
C.K. on his credit card bill.
Well, like, why does he care?
I don't know. Because it's Louis C.K. Because it's somebody more successful than him.
Oh, he doesn't like
him. You know, he thinks that Louis. I think. Liz, what did he say? He said Louis. He said Louis overrated. What did he call Louis? He said something really nasty about Louis.
Oh,
right.
He's upset that I called him that nice
overrated hack. As a like he's going like that. And then his wife wakes up, sees the text, but then she blocks him from her phone. So now he can't text his own wife.
Oh my
because
god.
He's, so I mean, it's just
great.
Wonderful
that's tremendous.
Dominoes.
It's tremendous.
Great.
Yeah.
And you know me, I don't hand out compliments lightly. So when I say it's tremendous, you can take it to the bank. That's fucking tremendous. And
it is tremendous.
He just likes seeing someone in more of a downward spiral.
No, because this could be...
That could be a Seinfeld episode. I mean, it's brilliant.
This could be...
Kristen said 3 things this whole show, and they've all been home runs.
Kristen's funny. That's why we have her here.
Well, no, because...
By the way...
The truth is, I don't see this as a downward spiral. I see this as...
The man is spiraling out. He's just attacking...
Yeah,
Whoa.
Yeah, he's spiraling out of control, but I see this as his golden ticket.
What is going to come of this? I'm asking this honestly.
I'll tell you, if he just went on stage and said, Louis is brilliant.
I'm not saying he should do that.
Nothing would come out of that.
He should do that, but to me, this is like when you talked about taking a shit on the Letterman stage.
I still stand by that.
What is going to
come of this? I don't have the balls that Kevin Brennan has. That's why I didn't take a shit on
the stage. But it's an honest question. What comes of this type of, if someone notices him and says, oh, this guy's crazy.
More money on the road at minimum.
It's not just that he is ranting like a lunatic. It's funny.
Yeah, it is.
Okay,
funny.
And he comes up with a lot of good lines in those rants. And if it gets him 100,000 followers, that's a lot of fucking followers.
But then that has to become part of his act. I mean, you can't do this.
Well,
and then
once
go
you're famous, you're famous, and the people are there to see you.
Kristen,
you don't have to do the same.
I cannot get through anybody's podcast. I cannot get through. I sat and listened to 3 Kevin Brennan podcasts, front to back, and I was sorry when they were over. The time, I know, like, where did
but
the time go?
But the point is this:
it's just like watching an accident.
I was going to say, watching a Maury Povich show.
Exactly. But the point is this:
Cops was on the air for fucking 10 years.
It could be the most brilliant thing in the world. Can anything catch fire today? That's the other point.
Yeah.
Forget about Kevin Brennan and his mental breakdown. By the way, his thing with Letty, that's the only part that really makes me wonder where his head is. Going against the guy that's with you, that you guys have this great chemistry. It's not easy to find somebody. Hey, I'll say this to Kevin. It's not easy to find somebody you have fucking chemistry with. Don't fuck that up over a few bucks that you're not making anyway.
That's right.
It's not easy to find somebody you work well off.
And Lenny's very unhappy.
And someone to work well off, Kevin, means someone that feels they have no right to get a word in edgewise.
But I'm saying, yeah, there's a chemistry there. Yeah. Kevin's got to appreciate that Lenny brings something to him, brings out something in him. It's not going to be like that with just anybody.
And he's not going to find many comics that are willing to just
sit there and bring in whatever he brings.
Liz Ferrante could be the sidekick and
but
permanent sidekick.
But working with those three is working.
Right.
Now, him, Liz, and Lenny. Don't fuck it up.
Now, Dan, I have to introduce another
It's
layer.
Alchemy.
I got a call from SiriusXM Radio, and I'm about to receive a check, I think, for approximately $2,500.
Wow.
For some of our things. And I have my first instinct was just to deposit in a bank and never tell anybody.
60-40, me, Dan.
So that's the question. How do we divide this money up, Dan?
Well, that's, you know, this is one of those times, one of those rare times where I say, you the boss, you know, and you figure it out.
Yeah. You split it three ways.
One second. You are not Kevin, though. You are a generous person. You're inclusive. Kevin is going to cut your nose if he can.
Okay, but I'm just saying. Let's
compare it.
He's cutting off his own nose.
Are we going to get, is this
he's
just
cutting, he's also Irish, don't forget. He's going to cut his nose off to spite his face.
That's right.
That Irish temper is a real thing.
No, the Irish self-destruction.
Oh, Irish self-destruction.
He's going to destroy himself.
That's right.
So I agree with that. This is for all the episodes up to now?
No, there's a few more after that, but it's for the bunch that we did before I actually got my act together and signed the I-9 right. or whatever I had to send in.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah,
W-9.
Well, I'll leave it to you. You know, it's not if we were talking about $100,000, I might be more involved in the negotiation, but $2,500.
Yeah, but with the precedent we set now, will probably be applied to $100,000, so let's be very careful.
That's exactly my point.
Well, I don't know if there's going to be $100,000 or not, but...
Exactly.
So let's put it, what we have on the table. I own the club, the equipment. I got the deal with Sirius.
Yeah.
And how much is that worth?
You should get 50, and Dan and I'll split the other 50.
I was exactly.
That's a good.
So that means you and Dan are of equal worth.
I mean, unless you want to put
get
it
into who's worth,
it other way.
Who's worth more than other. Just well.
Why do you say we do third, a third, a third, and I'll take the extra dollar or whatever it is.
That's fine. A third, a third, a third. All in favor, say no. No.
A third, a third, a third?
Well, yeah. Why are you asking?
I mean, I think that's generous. Yeah.
But I have to, there may be some, like we had to pay Calabria like $50 to book somebody from here and there. I got to take that off the top. But I'll
Calabria.
Now there's another issue, which is the taxes, because I have to give you probably, I have to kind of approximate your taxes, because I'm going to have
$10.99.
It came to me, I'm going to have to pay all the taxes on it. So
it comes to you personally or comes to the business?
It's coming to me personally, I think.
You have to declare that as income?
That's a good question. Maybe it's coming to the Comedy Cellar.
Yeah, that's a big distinction.
Then I can just pay you guys out. Oh, whatever. That's boring.
Well, you'll work that out. I'll leave it to you, Barracudas, to figure that out.
This didn't go the way I thought it would. I thought they were going to fight about it. No, I thought you were going to say, no, you keep it.
All of it?
Well, why on God's earth would we say such a thing?
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Saying our time is worth it.
I miscalculated.
Why on God's earth? Did you really think that?
Because
crazy?
You said that to me one time
even
when
I didn't
you were
think
drunk.
That.
No, I don't recall. Well, I must have been really drunk because I don't recall that. And no, I don't think I said that at all.
No, I think at a third.
I think, by the way, we should... Give a little something to some of the guests that come on the show.
That's absurd.
Now you're being crazy, Dan.
We can do that too. But a third.
That's absurd.
But if we do that, it comes off the top, and whatever's left is still a third, a third, a third. And I told this to Kevin on the phone. An equal distribution psychologically is the best thing.
Yes, exactly.
It's the best thing.
You can always fight later on.
The real money, if there's money to be made, is in going on the road and making money because you fill up a room. Now, of course, Noam doesn't have that option. Because he's not a comic, although people might come here and you'd make money that way.
Because it's not just money, it's also like an official document saying, you are this important, you are only 40% important,
right.
I'm 60%
good
important.
Point.
Feel good about yourself now, Lenny? No, he doesn't want that.
Good point. Yeah. And you told that to Kevin?
Yeah.
If I were Lenny, to be honest with you, if I were Lenny, I'd say, thank you. Thank you for the 40%. That's
really?
Me. I would say thank you because... Kevin,
then why are you taking a third of my money?
Exactly. Say thank you. Thank you, Dan.
Just kidding, Dan. Go ahead.
I love Lenny, but this is Kevin's show. Now, Kevin, if I were Kevin, I would offer 50%. Okay, for all the reasons that you've described. Is anybody listening to me?
Yeah, I'm listening. If you were Kevin, you'd take...
If I were Kevin, I would offer 50 because what the hell... But if I were Lenny, I would be grateful for the 40.
Yeah.
This is Kevin's show. Without Kevin, there is no show. Okay? It's clear.
This is
Kevin's vision and Kevin's everything. It's like Howard and Robin, okay? I assume Robin doesn't make the same as Howard. I don't know this
for sure.
But
wait a minute. It was Kevin's vision?
Yeah, Kevin's. I assume it's Kevin's vision. Who else would have such a nightmare, catastrophic, apocalyptic vision?
Actually, I had something to do with that.
Well, maybe you should get 10%.
I heard Kevin on the Opie and Jim show, which was a famous appearance.
Mm. Right.
And I don't remember exactly how, but I think I was the one who mentioned to Robert how great Kevin was. And Robert says that I chose the name, Misery Loves Company. Okay. I don't remember that, but Robert says it.
You know.
So I'm entitled to something, too.
All sure. right, fine. But, anyway. but you know, I mean, I think you'll agree that Kevin is the lead dog in this race.
Yes, absolutely. I mean,
okay, so if I were Lenny, I would be disappointed, but I would
but
not, I would say, I want to be a part of this.
That's what they said about Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin.
That's right. It's all chicken feet. That's what they said about David Ruffin with the Temptations.
I agree that if
and
I
was. That's what they said about Suzanne Summers.
If I were Kevin. If I were Kevin, I would offer 50-50 because I'm going to make the money. Because I'd be like, this is shit anyway. I'm going to make the money filling theaters hopefully one day. So this doesn't even matter.
Exactly. But I'm saying it shouldn't matter to either one of them if they want to fill theaters.
Wait,
it's
so
all chicken
Kevin,
feed.
Don't pour any water.
The great Godfrey. Yeah. Godfrey.
Stay.
We don't have enough. No mic sharing. Come on, no mic sharing.
No mic sharing?
Because the sound is shit. No.
I like that you yelled at him.
Well, somebody's got to put their foot down.
Okay.
But the great Godfrey, one of the great talents here at the Comedy Cellar.
One of the biggest talents in the world, I'd say.
Well, I do agree with that, pound for pound. Like Colin Quinn, we just got to get our social networking up. Right, Colin?
Yes. Sorry, guys.
A lot of very talented people, no one knows about them because they don't have enough followers or enough, you know what I mean? And what's really sad is when you go on the road, like I do the improvs, and sometimes I'll ask,
those cafeterias at SD what? Go ahead.
SD trashed them today.
I wish there was a Comedy Cellar in every city.
Yeah.
Like, you should open up a Comedy Cellar in every city. It would be amazing.
Woo!
But you have to go to improvs, you got to go Funny Bones and all those other clubs. And a lot of times I'll say, hey, how come you don't have that guy here or this person? Well, they don't bring in people because they don't have enough followers. And then the owners tell me this too now. They say, now people call in to comedy clubs and say, oh, wow, who's on the bill? This person. What have I seen them on? They won't come until they associate you with something.
Yeah.
That's why getting on TV or having a podcast is so important for our live stuff because it's changing. People want, they'll go see, there's a dude named, you ever heard of Piff the Magic Dragon? You see? You see? That son of a bitch is doing well.
He was on America Got Talent.
American has
He's
talent.
British guy.
That's right.
And he is a comedian, but he also does
magic. Shit or sorry.
Stupid
magic. Yeah. So his horrible individual is doing well because he was on America's Got Talent. He was in different stages, popular, selling out.
He was in the finals.
But then,
so he's been.
And I've been at some clubs where he's about to come, and their tickets are already sold out.
Yeah.
Tickets are already sold out. Oh man, they're like this. Oh, Pip the Magic Dragons, and they always got to tell you about a dumb act. Because when you're not selling out, they go, oh, you know the guy that balances the chair on his face?
It's always got to be
somebody. Yeah, he was on.
It's always got to be an infuriating name you can imagine.
Yeah, he was on Ellen. Yeah, he just sold out already, man. He's not even here yet.
My name's Piff the Magic Dragon. You might have heard of my older brother, Steve.
And I'm doing 700 radio shows in the morning going, come to my show.
Right.
Come to my show. You know what I mean? Well, I do pretty well in certain markets, but it's about being on TV or being on something that has a lot of viewership or listenership. You know, it's very important.
I do well in no market unless unless the club is already. There's some clubs that will fill up regardless.
That's
true.
You
know, because the club is.
Because
is the
they
club
paper it.
But first of all, papering is important because papering doesn't mean they're going to come and see you, though. It doesn't mean it because they can paper it.
They paper it. They force them to buy drinks, and they get a bunch of drunk idiots that got it before
him. No, because Chappelle can tweet, "I will be in this town," and he'll sell out a theater in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm saying that they have to have an emotional attachment to you, sort of. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It don't matter. People will drive from anywhere to come see certain people. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And first of all, when you paper a room, first of all, people have to say, okay, tickets are free. Who is that guy? I don't know if I want to go, even if it's free tickets. Okay, let's say you're getting more popular where they go, I'll go for free tickets. Okay, cool. Then it's like, now I'll pay for this guy.
Can you explain for the listeners what papering a room is?
Oh, papering
is
means to like give out free tickets so that you can try and fill up a room.
And then hopefully they buy drinks.
Hopefully they buy drinks and that'll cover the cost. And then you'll have people that say, well, I don't care. I'll pay for this particular person. I don't need it to be free tickets. I'll buy them. Then it's like, will they show up? You know what I mean? So there's a different levels of wanting that people have to. It's a lot of stages that people have to go through to buy your tickets, to fill the seats. You know what I mean? It's a numbers game.
Now, Colin just posed a question just before you got here. What catches fire nowadays? How do you catch fire?
We were talking about this. We're talking about Kevin and Lenny. Their podcast, everybody's talking. We're all talking about how crazy it is, how funny.
Yeah.
But can anything catch fire?
Yeah. You hear about the lady with the Chewbacca mask?
Yes. Oh, my God, yes.
Are you kidding me?
What?
It's like, it's huge.
And she got on James Corbin now.
Yeah. She's on. We can't even get on these shows.
Yeah.
We can't even get on these shows.
Yeah.
Everybody that works down at the cellar should be able to be on every goddamn talk show because everybody's so good down there.
I know.
I credit that to Esty and her choices of comedians. I credit that to your choice of comedians and the quality of comedy. All they should do is recruit people from the Comedy Cellar. That's all we should be running all the night shows. But we can't do these shows.
Speaking of which, the fact that every talk show in New York doesn't have two comedians on a week is stupid.
If I ran a show, wouldn't you guarantee that you want these guys to laugh for at least five minutes? Or if they don't laugh, they're going to have a great time. Shame on those talk show hosts, though. Shame on them. They
disgusting.
Come from the stand-up world.
I don't know if it's
even
up
if
to
they
them.
Don't come from the stand-up world.
It's not up to them.
I don't know.
Of course, it is.
There's some segments that I go, you made that up.
Yeah.
Get a comedian on. And
get a comedian
a lot
on
of
and
night,
shut
night
it.
Talk show is horrible. It's not funny anymore. It's silly as hell. Let's go on Twitter and see. Get some comedians on there. How about breed some comics on there and let people know about these? You get hit. These shows get hit.
Stop stealing my thing I just said.
What are you talking about?
I just said that.
No, now you didn't.
You just changed
You're
it.
You're mad because mine's
you
better.
Was, you turned around
mine's
and
was, better,
hey,
Colin.
Hey, I'm some comedians
adjust,
on. I just said that.
Adjust your ABC Sports headphones and shut up.
Well,
this headphone literally is broken. I have to hold it.
Isn't there a chance since all the talk shows seem to make the same decision that there's some data which indicates that stand-up comedy doesn't do so well on these shows? No?
I don't think
so.
First of all, anybody that listens to data when they're doing the entertainment business, go work in a fucking bank. You know what I'm saying? Data. Fuck that shit. That's the whole problem in the industry. They sit there with their little... They're like, oh, you know what? We talk to people here. It's like, that doesn't prove shit. You know what I mean? You either go for the intangible or you don't, right? That's what art is.
Actually, I agree with you, but that would imply certain particular performers who are magic rather than just the genre, you know, of
well, like Comedy
Pip
Sellers
the
are,
Magic Dragon.
Comedy Cellar is a perfect example that it built its audience. Before Louis, it was still packed. It was because of the quality of comedy. People came out, they were like, damn, I've never seen a lineup like that.
And
it just built up, and the comedy club was the important place. They didn't care who was in there. They'd go. They always knew there's going to be a damn good show downstairs. And that's how other comedy clubs need to do is sell the club itself, but they don't do that.
And they never, from day one, never catered to the industry. The industry never got to come here for free.
That's
they
right.
had to go through a comedian,
which
is a kind of a way of saying, hey, guess what? The comedians matter to us.
Yep.
And it pissed them off for many years.
Yeah.
And that made my whole day. Every time you're mad, I love you. You're like, can you call for me? Oh, they're going to swallow their fucking pride and call us.
Godfrey, do you have people who come to you and ask you to recommend them to get into the cellar?
Yes, it was recent.
What do you do?
Because this
is the sore point for me and Esty.
It's tough. It's like the choices we made in careers. I chose to be the comedian, shut up and tell your jokes. You chose to be the club owner, shut up and let people come and want to be in your stage. You know what I mean?
No,
I'm just kidding.
The question is always the same question.
Well,
are you doing a favor to the guy or are you doing a favor to the comedy seller?
Well, I try.
Mostly it's the guy.
It's tough. Because it's like if I know a guy that's really good, I think he's pretty good. I'll go, hey, Esty, listen, I think you should look at this person.
Right.
But I don't do it in front of them.
Exactly.
I'll send you something and you look. I tell the person, hey, man, I can try to refer you, but I can't guarantee it. It's right. on you and it's on what they like. That's what I do to calmer. Stay safe.
Yeah. Right.
Whoa, I'm doing his Roy Innes. Whoa, remember?
Oh, yeah. Wait.
Now, wait. The political situation. No. That's not what we're talking about. I'm not talking about that.
Remember that?
Yes. Wait a minute. Wait.
But there's one more factor that comes into play, which is when we go on the road, you have road affairs where you're watching a middle act. Most of them are so bad that you watch a guy that's doing respectable material, and you're like, this guy's great. Yeah. I've recommended a couple of guys, and I'm like, this guy's great. Then they come here, and they're not great. But on the road, you were like, that guy's really good because they're working
creative.
When you think of funny, I think Comedy Cellar funny.
No, like, right, but I'm saying, when someone is funny, you're on the road, if a middle act is kind of good, you're like, he's great because he's so used to dealing with bad hacks. That you go, I'll recommend him. He's good. And then you're like, oh. And Esty looks at you like, what are you doing to me? Why are you wasting my fucking time?
You know what I start doing? Kevin was the last one, I think. Or Lenny. When they recommend somebody.
Oh, yeah.
I said, why don't you stay next to me?
And that's fair.
And let's see it.
That's fair.
And then
that's fair.
That is way fair.
That's the way to do it.
And so if they're not good, they're there to see it.
But I have an idea. And Ray Allen, Ray, you want to come over here? I think the next time you guys see somebody that you think is worth...
Leave Ray out of this. He's suffered enough.
Recommend them to Ray Allen. Let Ray Allen take them to Aruba. And then if they do well in Aruba, come on, Ray.
That's hilarious.
That's not necessarily...
They do the love boat and then come over to Aruba.
I'm going to let Ray Allen sit down, and I'm going to let Dan conduct this. Go ahead. Come. This is Ray Allen. I'll be honest with you.
If Ray Allen sits down, I'm leaving.
Good job.
And you know what, Colin? I was just going to say, I watched the debate, and you were magnificent.
See? Good comeback.
Thank you.
The political debate, Ray.
Where were you at?
You were great.
Over here at the Village Underground. We had a blast.
Oh. When was that?
I watched it on YouTube today. It was great.
When was that?
Tuesday?
A week ago?
About a week ago.
Was it good?
Very good.
Wait, was it a setup for a political debate?
Yeah, they've done two of them. So they had this whole...
These four people...
All.
I didn't like his English. Go ahead.
We have... Noam started a...
why is the co-host of my show...
Comedy Cellar debate.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Two
of the hosts have now been driven off the table.
He started a debate thing?
Yeah.
Wow. And we can, like, debate?
No, well, we can't. These people are dead serious.
That looked like Romano, didn't it?
Ray.
That's Ray?
Ray.
That's not Ray.
Ray Romano. Yes,
oh, I said it looks just like Ray. Romano.
Well, that's probably because it is Ray Romano.
Hey, Ray.
Okay. Oh, Ray.
That ain't not Ray.
Ray Allen, why are you...
That ain't no Ray
it's
Romano.
It's not Ray. It's not Ray.
No, it's not.
It's not Ray.
I don't believe it just looked like Ray. Yeah, there's a lot of Italians out here.
I know Ray. That's not Ray.
It's not Ray.
I've known Ray for years. That ain't him.
It's not Ray. Told you that's not Ray. Oh, it is.
It's Oops. Not Ray.
Yo. Hey, Ray. Hey.
Ray doesn't want to come right in and sit down and go on a podcast.
I need a release. All right. We have Aruba. I don't know. Everybody's left because Ray Romano is here, so they're all... Godfrey.
What's up?
Yeah. Aruba Ray Allen.
I know Aruba. Make you sit down on the podcast.
I know Aruba Ray
Allen. He's going back to Aruba.
I know. Ray has to find his, be a king somewhere.
Well, I
stop saying Ray because people are going to think it's that Ray.
Aruba Ray.
We're talking about Aruba Ray because there's two Rays. there's famous Ray.
Kristen, sit over there.
And then there's Aruba Ray.
There's Aruba
Ray. Aruba Ray. He's famous in Aruba.
But actually, Ray is okay with you saying Aruba Ray. That's his kingdom.
Out of mind.
He's
it's
loving
my people.
It. Ray grew his hair out. He's doing like Caribbean stuff. He's good.
Ray's like Colonel Kurtz.
He said, but Ray said,
paying comics like shit. He's his dream. No, I'm just kidding.
Ray Allen grew his hair. He said to give it to kids with cancer.
Are you giving it to kids?
But he never gave a strand of kid to cancer.
No, he didn't give a strand.
He never gave strand one.
It was much longer. I chopped it.
Yeah, but where are those long strands?
I don't know. Maybe it's in Wisconsin. I don't know. Some fucking.
You're saying, you gave those strands to cancer kids.
Precious lot.
Was she on already?
Who are you talking about?
Do you have a spot?
I'm second.
Oh, you might want to go down.
Ray.
Jesus, yeah, he's about to bring you
Vinyl,
up, Kong.
You're killing. Woo! I'm telling you.
You know Ray, when are you going back?
I watched all 10. I watched all 10 episodes. But I'm like, your part's my favorite. It's the. Yeah, it's awesome. Awesome.
Now they fired all the writers.
Did they?
Yep.
Because it was.
The showrunner and the writer.
Well, it was a little shaky for a second. But you and Dice Clay, come on.
Hey, Ray, when you did the upfronts, did they fly you coach? They fly you coach?
I didn't do the up. What do you mean?
Yeah. You fly coach, well, right?
I don't want to pressure Ray. If you don't want to sit down, we'll leave you alone.
Yo, the Vegas episode, I was like, oh, that was.
Yeah, that's the one.
You stretched
it. That's my threesome, man.
Shit, man.
You know, you have the reputation.
I'm saying, Ray, if you're
going
to participate, step into the mic. But if not, we're happy to have you.
But another season's coming, of course, yeah?
Hey, 1 second. I'll be right there.
Okay.
Obligation. No, by the way, Ray, do you want to go to Aruba? it pays $300 a show.
Yo, we're still talking, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ray, when are you going back to Aruba?
I'm going back on June 8th.
June 8th. And you're going to stay there till like November, right?
No. I'm going to stay there until late July.
Late July.
6 weeks.
Well, I applaud Aruba.
Look how creepy you look. Why do I look creepy?
6 weeks.
I applaud Aruba Ray Allen. Because we're all trying to figure out where our shit is.
And you
know what I mean?
Sometimes it's
in the Caribbean.
Sometimes it's in the Caribbean. That's so true.
You know.
Arch Barker in Australia.
Arch Barker's killing it in Australia.
Hey.
Fucking Pip the Magic Dragon got his shit with this.
Pip the Magic. That's why you got to leave when Pip the Magic Dragon is winning.
So Ray, I know sometimes Ray's down himself like, oh, I'm in Aruba. I want to be here where the action is. The action is is where you make the action.
My whole thing is I just need a consistent TV something. Consistent.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
I had a game show last year, didn't get a second season, but I need something that's consistent. All you need is consistency. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's in people's faces all day, they just associate you to goddamn TV.
You need your,
and then you sell.
You need your cash cab.
I need my cash cab or something. Steve Harvey's hosting every show, so it's kind of tough.
But dog, if you could make good money in Aruba,
define Guhal. I don't know how. Ray Romano.
I binge watched Raw Vinyl. And it was awesome.
So, Ray knows I don't watch the show. We're talking about, you're a Vinyl Ray and this is Aruba Ray. Because we want to be clear to the listeners. You're Vinyl Ray and this is Aruba Ray.
That's Aruba Ray.
Okay.
Oh, now Vinyl Ray, I can't front. I didn't watch your show. You know that because who's the dude that stars your show?
Bobby Cannavale.
Bobby Cannavale came here the other day. I said, Ray, is that your brother? I had no idea it was Bobby Cannavale.
I saw Cannavale on Law and Order. They showed an old Law and Order. They show his Law and Orders now.
Yeah.
Every time someone gets a show, you'll see their Law and Orders.
Brad Garrett did a Law and Order last week. He played a rapist.
Oh, so, nice. Well, no. That's good. That
Ray, by the way, I want to thank Vinyl Ray for coming on the podcast. Nice. You always come on our podcast, Ray.
Dream
well, you're here. I'm on my way. I'm waiting for the wings.
But I think you're one of those guys that's so nice that you'll. And I almost feel bad asking you for shit because I think you're too nice to say no. By the way, I could use $100,000 to produce a 1 hour special.
I think you would say no. You say it real nice, though.
I'll say no. I just won't say no, you Jew. It's Vinyl. It's still Vinyl.
Yes.
By the way, I play a Zach Yankovic. I'm a Jewish man.
You're
Vinyl.
A Jewish guy. The bar mitzvah that he crashed, the whole, and you punched him in the face. I mean, you were edgy, man. He was edgy.
At
the end, the last episode, they're celebrating, right? And you walk off like, fuck this dude.
You got to watch it, man.
It's so dope.
I don't. What's the chance they're on the home box office?
HBO.
You know, I'll tell you. I'll be honest with Ray.
Nobody said that.
No, it's on the American Broadcasting.
Is it? I think it's the Tiffany Network. I'll be honest with you, Ray. My TV broke some time ago, and I haven't replaced it.
That's all right.
I don't watch a whole lot. I mostly watch on the internet.
Now, why is he Aruba
Ray? Yeah. First of all, that's a little disrespectful.
He has a jungle hut in Aruba.
He is the most famous comedian in Aruba.
He is.
Nice. That's true, Ray. I don't want to brag, but it's true.
I believe it.
Yeah. You know how Arch Barker...
There's only one club.
Well, except for when other comedians come there.
then it's questionable, yeah. But I get I fly first there, Ray. It's really something.
Do you have a club there?
What happens, I started going there 4 years ago, and I love the island.
Yeah.
So I started doing a gig there. just so I could spend more time there. That's really what it was. Yeah, the place heals you. It heals.
Of course.
You come down, I'll give you a spot.
I love the islands. Now, who wants to know the
capital? He's not coming.
You want to know the capitals of the islands?
Yes.
Because I know every capital.
No, really?
Yeah. Yeah. If it's a country, if it's a country, tell me. Say an island.
Anguilla.
Antigua.
Antigua and Barbuda is St. John's.
Damn. Okay.
But I know you guys don't know if I'm right or wrong. But
I know I don't.
But I am.
Barbados.
Barbados is
how about Fuqua
Bridgetown.
Fuqua Island.
That's not
a country. I need a country. No, it's not.
Really? It's Bridgetown?
Yeah.
Barbados?
Barbados.
Bridgetown is the capital?
How about Curacao?
Who?
Curacao. You heard what we said.
Part of the ABC Islands.
Curacao.
Aruba, Bonaire, Curacao.
But it's not. It has to be a country. It has to be recognized as a country
Curacao.
By the United Nations.
By the United Nations. Aruba, the capital is Arrangistan.
Or by the website that I go to and memorize them all.
Now, Ray, you're doing this.
By the Miss Universe organization.
There you go. Ray, you're doing this. This is Vinyl Ray I'm talking to.
Yes.
You're doing this to stave off Alzheimer's? Is that why you're doing this?
That's what I thought I was doing it for. But my shrink told me it doesn't do that. That's kind of a myth that these mind games, crossword puzzles.
Oh, they don't?
There's not enough evidence.
There's not enough evidence.
But what he did tell me is, here's the only benefit. If you know all the capitals of every country, at least you know you don't have it now. You don't have Alzheimer's now.
Okay.
So that's enough. That's good enough.
Okay.
Yeah. Ray, this might be a scoop. I don't know. But Ray is in therapy, apparently. Is he just?
Are you really in therapy?
Elucidated.
I've been in therapy for a while. Since 18 years old.
Does it help?
I killed off one therapy. He passed away. Mm. Another one retired.
Oof.
And another one, he went away.
Wait, wow, Ray seems like reasonably adjusted. Of course, you can't tell. I guess you can't tell about folks, can you?
You're Italian. I thought it was like, honestly, like all my Jewish friends always had a shrink or a therapist. I was like, that was a cultural thing.
Everybody thinks it's money. You know, money.
That's what I thought.
Like when I tell my friends, I'm like, what are you in therapy? Why do you need?
Because I'm still a human?
Because of money.
I never thought you were in therapy, obviously money doesn't solve problems. I thought you were in therapy. I would have guessed you were in therapy had it been asked, had someone posed to me the question. Because you see, like, here's a guy that's been married to the same woman. You never read about him.
That's why he said it. Never read about him banging chicks.
You never read about Ray Romano in rehab. You never read about Ray Romano just on set, just fucking...
Having an affair. How the hell?
So maybe that's it. It's all inside.
Yeah,
you know, but you seem like...
Then again, Howard Stern meets that same criteria, and he's batshit crazy.
No, Howard Stern, you always knew, was nuts. The way he was, he's a fucking a narcissist, insane
vices.
Person.
I have my vices.
What are your vices?
Yeah.
First of all, my neuroses, I'm kind of off the charts there as far as that goes. I don't talk about it or show it. Well, I talk about it a little bit. I used to gamble a little too much.
I heard that.
Really?
I didn't want to bring it up, but I heard that.
Then who'd you hear it from?
Before he made an episode on Everybody Loves Raymond about it.
Oh, wow.
About gambling? No,
I'm
not. No,
I don't remember where I heard it, but somebody was...
The one with the two checkbooks where...
But that wasn't about gambling. On the show, it wasn't about gambling. It came from my real life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember who told me. I just remembered he was imitating you going, I got pocket aces here.
how much money would you spend at like one sig or whatever?
See, it's all relative. So when I had a problem... I lost all my money. I didn't have, thank God it happened before I started making crazy money.
Right.
So it's all relative.
You lost everything.
The amount doesn't, I kind of wiped out a bank account, you know, that I shouldn't have.
Were you playing poker or betting on horses?
Everything. I bet everything. I bet with a bookie. You know, when you bet with a bookie, you can get in trouble because all you have to do is make a phone call.
Yeah.
You don't need the money up front. You know, you go to Vegas, you got to put money up.
Yeah.
You go to poker, you got to put money. And with a bookie, you call up, you say, hey, give me $500 on the Mets, and you don't have $500.
I never understood why gambling is so addictive,
but
plus
obviously
it was
the
80s, yeah. So the 70s, the Mets sucked then. So I
now, I heard you lost a lot of money betting against the Globetrotters on the Generals. That was actually an episode of The Simpsons.
That's a good one.
Where Krusty the Clown bet on the Generals because he thought they were due.
That was a good one.
The Simpsons.
But money solves nothing. Here's my bit. Here's my line is that before I thought my cab driver hated me, and now I think my limo driver hates me. It's all the same.
Right. Wow. But, Ray, one thing it does get you is freedom to say, no, I don't want to do that.
That's true.
I mean, you don't have to go on a cruise ship. For example, some of your compatriots.
Dude, Aruba's fucking great, Godfrey. You're missing out.
We'll get to Aruba later. But some of your colleagues, compatriots, are, say, doing cruise ships right now.
Yes.
To make a living.
Right, but how is that related to what we're talking about?
I'm saying you don't have to do anything that you don't want to do.
Yes, but what I'm telling you is
so that has to have some psychological value.
That's not the answer to happiness. That's you're comfortable, but but happiness is something different.
Well, for me that's profound. but if you had to,
I was happy. I when I look back as Neil Sedaka calls it, the hungry years.
Yeah.
I'm quoting some of you guys don't even know.
Sedaka.
Sedaka.
Yeah, yeah. Calendar girl. Calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The hungry years. I miss the hungry years. I look back at those days sometimes with fondness. Yeah, like the drive and the thing. And yet, when I was in it, yeah, it was like fucking...
If right now you lost everything,
yes,
and somehow to go, like say, had to do cruise ships every week, my guess is you throw yourself overboard. I'm guessing.
I've only done two cruise ships, and I've worked two cruise ships in my life. The first time I didn't have enough material, and I asked Jonathan Solomon if I could borrow material because I got booked on a cruise ship. And
ever called you up and said, hey, look, Ray, remember that solid I did for you on the cruise ship?
The second time was I quote this as one of the worst experiences. They had a dirty night. You know, they had the regular, me and another comic, but then they had the dirty show at like midnight. And I didn't know, so now I got to be the dirty show. I went on and it was horrible. Okay, so then I'm walking back to my room later. And you know how narrow the hallways are on a cruise ship. And I hear from around the bend, I hear a couple talking, well, where do they get these guys? I mean, it's crazy. We're paying this money and they get these guys. And I turn around. And if you know, we had to shimmy past each other, like with our faces looking at each other, just like that, you know. And I just heard them trashing.
Well, that's a disaster of a cruise ship. You're on the same ship as your audience
stuck with
the whole week.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're bombing, you're like, you end up in the conga line with them.
The only thing worse
than
bombing.
Don't they have conga lines on?
Well, they might. Either way, you're fucked. Because if you kill, then you can't go in the jacuzzi because then they want to talk to you. You know, so
yeah. So you said that drive like stand up wise, like you go. I didn't come up with some new shit. Do you have? Are you going to do a special?
No, I'm not going to do a special. Nah.
You never doing? Oh, okay.
Well, I did them, but you know, I don't have enough for that. But
okay.
But I still get the high from writing new stuff and coming up with something. But I'm just not grinding it out every day.
You don't
like
have to.
No, but like when I worked here on Vinyl, I was here for 6 months.
Yeah.
And I came here, you know. Yeah. I used to and I generated, you know, maybe a new 10 minutes of material.
Uh-huh.
It psychs you up, man.
That's good. Yeah, that's cool. That's good that you have that because you don't really have it.
Hey, what's the secret to being a faithful husband for so many years? Seriously, that's incredible. Amazing.
No, why are you asking this?
It's a great it's a happy family,
it
man.
It rhymes with masturbation. I don't know if there's a secret, man. It's just
I think
how
so,
long have you been married?
28 years.
I think nice. Some people are just good at it. You know, some people, we all have different talents.
Yes.
You know, and some people are talented. I wouldn't say talented, but some people are just more built for, I think.
Hardwired?
I think more hardwired for it.
I don't know. I think I'm as horny as the next guy.
Right.
I just think I've made a moral pact with myself. You know what I mean?
Made a peace with that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I can't, you know, I'm not going to say... You know, biologically, it's just natural to be.
What about
attracted.
That Taylor Swift as she came at you with everything she's got?
Someone would have to.
That little bitch.
Believe me, I've tried to figure out how it could happen, and I'm not really in trouble. I haven't done anything wrong, and it would have to be like a, you know, I'm getting a massage, Well, who's this going out to? Who's this?
Stays in the building. Just in the building.
Stays in the building.
Yeah, closed circuit.
It would have to be, I'm getting a massage, I get grabbed, and I'm like, hey, no, no, and before I can say protest, it happens. <That's> it. Someone, a guy asked me this. You know, they have a thing with monkeys where they wire up their brain, right? Mm-hmm. And they can simulate an orgasm by pushing a button, right?
Really?
Right, yes. So is it cheating if you're a married man, if you wire yourself up and you just have another woman push the button, is that considered cheating?
I don't think so. No.
No?
That's not cheating.
All right, you haven't touched her? You haven't inserted anything?
No. All right, I got to make a phone call.
How about if another guy pushes the button on your wife?
What?
If a guy pushes the button for your wife.
The button? No.
I'll give him the keypad.
He didn't stick nothing in. He didn't stick nothing.
Ray, I got
to
go.
Ray, thank you so much. You're too good to us.
Ray Romano.
Ray is just man in show business.
I don't
know why he sits down. Why he sits down and talks to us as anybody's guest, but we're glad that he does.
Enjoy.
God bless him, the nicest man in town in show business. Well, we have to wrap it up anyway.
We got leaner, too.
No.
Yo, Ray Romano, you got to watch him on vinyl. And Andrew Dice Clay. It's too bad they kill Andrew off. But it's...
Thanks for the spoiler.
You're not even watching this. Shut up.
I would. Not anymore now.
Oh, come on. We just watch it.
We got to wrap it up. That was great. Did Michelle get to say anything?
Well, no,
in
a little bit.
She just said, shut up, Godfrey. And then she was like, I'm at peace now.
Nobody made fun of Ray Allen?
Of course I did.
I took a beat.
If we do want to cut out the whole first part of the show, we had a great thing here last week with Ray Allen when Amy Schumer confronted him.
What?
Because Amy Schumer heard
that wasn't exactly how it happened.
Hold on, Amy is never nice to Ray.
Wow. And
Ray
for years,
says like she'll have a bottle of wine and she gets everybody a bottle of wine. She won't even give me a bottle of wine. And Ray says to me with perfect straight face, I don't know why she treats me that way. The only thing I can think of is that I never tried to bang her.
Okay, that's not how it was said.
Wow, Uber Ray.
That's not how it was said. We're sitting around.
I think that's why she treat you nice.
And we're sitting around.
And then it got back to Amy.
Ooh.
And Amy confronted him.
Oh.
I can't know him. You've mangled the story.
That's not what happened.
Oh, nice job, yeah. Noam.
The story is...
Tell us what happened.
She's never really been terribly nice to me, and I can't think of what the reason is.
That's way different than what I just said.
No.
Go ahead.
And a comic said to me, he goes, did you guys ever sleep together? I said, no, not at all. And then somebody else said... And then we were talking, and I said, maybe that's the problem. I never tried to bang her. And it was said in a joking way, just like that.
Oh, no, that's exactly how it happened.
And then how did she come at you? I want to know how she confronted you.
That's the part that Noam mangled.
Yeah.
What happened is Ray went over and said, Amy, just curiously, why aren't you nice to me?
I said, what's the problem? By the way, the wine thing.
That's after I told you not to go over to her and say anything to her. You just said you did.
I want to know the confrontation.
I told Ray, under no circumstances, you walk over to Amy and ask her why she's not nice to you. But Nanderman said you just did.
No, we're sitting 2 feet apart from each other. And by the way, the wine thing was...
Oh, it was 2 feet apart?
We're sitting with a bottle of wine.
Yes.
And she'll go, hey, Godfrey, you want some wine? No, you want some wine? Michelle, you want some wine? Skip over Ray. Dan, you want some wine?
But yeah, we get it. Did you go to Amy or did you not go to Amy?
Colin Quinn brought up my name to her. We're all sitting there.
Yeah.
And she kind of made like a face, like, oh, fuck Ray.
Yeah.
And I turned, I said, I gotta tell you, I don't know why you don't hate me. Or why you hate me so much.
That's after I told you not to say that to her.
It's right in my face. It was out in the open. You have to deal with it.
That's right.
And we all know each other. We're all friendly with each other.
What happened?
So she said to me, I don't know, maybe it's because you never tried to bang me. And I had to then say, explain the context of that. And then that was it. She really did say that? Yeah.
Maybe it's because you never tried to bang me?
Yeah, meaning that was her way of saying, I heard what you said about me.
Liz says that's not what she...
Well, what'd she say, Liz?
Jesus.
Come here, Liz.
Well, Liz, you got to speak into the mic.
That's how I recall it.
She said that she doesn't even consider you.
No. The second line was, she said, I don't hate you. I don't even think of you.
Damn.
Yeah. And I said, ooh, well, I guess that's even worse. I kept it...
I kept it polite.
Right?
Yeah. I kept it polite.
I think she wants to bang you.
Yeah, well. But the remarkable thing is I cannot pinpoint. Like, I wanted to know what the deal is because is there something that happened 8 years ago that I don't know about? I'd like to know.
Is it because maybe she's famous now and then she's shitting on people?
No. No, she was never nice to him.
5 years ago she was not. And I can't think of any reason. Wow. I can't think of any reason
sometimes,
at all.
You know, in this business, I feel sometimes people can't stand me.
Yeah, there's no
they
good
don't
reason.
Put you in any
would
of
you
sketches?
Bang her now?
Would I, you're a dirty man.
You don't get in any of their sketches. That's what sucks. You know?
But the remarkable thing is, show. I've never done anything I can think of other than be benign, polite.
Or I never tried to bang her.
Yes,
right, exactly. Wow.
I can tell you one thing. Right.
And by the way, she once told an audience that I had AIDS. I don't have AIDS, by the
way.
She,
really?
Yeah, I don't have AIDS.
You were emceeing, and you came off stage, and she said, Ray Allen, everybody, he has AIDS. It was a joke, obviously.
It's a joke. The same way it was a joke. I don't know, maybe I never tried to bang her. There's no difference.
You're upsetting me now, and I'm ready to cut you off in all my
time.
Why?
Because
you brought up the subject.
Because you were not kidding.
About what?
That when you...
I was 1,000% kidding.
You know how I know it's not a joke? Because Ray doesn't tell any jokes.
Because Ray what?
Because Ray doesn't tell
there you
any
go.
Jokes.
Or maybe she just decided not to like
I'm a reasonably nice person.
Listen, Ray banged my nanny. Ray bangs everybody.
Damn.
He couldn't bang Amy.
Ray.
You set that up.
I just met
this
you.
This is real, huh?
It's real. Yeah, he banged my nanny.
Shit.
Yeah. And you know where my nanny is now?
For a while.
I don't know. She ghosted us. We haven't been able to find her in 6 months.
I didn't do anything.
Ray, man. Ray.
I don't think it was my
She's off in Aruba having Ray's
baby.
We dated for,
you know, 10 months.
Amazing.
Man, oh, man.
Aruba Ray.
Well,
I get a bad rap for no reason.
Yes, for no reason.
I didn't think that comment, Michelle, albeit extremely clever and well executed, was a little bit harsh.
Yeah.
Dan, you're such a pussy.
Well, Ray wouldn't be emceeing here if he didn't have jokes.
This is
now,
live, right?
Thank you, Dan.
Is this live?
Mm-mm. No, this is not live.
This weekend, Denver Improv.
Hey.
Thursday through Sunday. And then next week will be Houston Improv.
Go see Godfrey.
All right.
It'll be Houston Improv. No, actually, June 9th through the 12th is Houston Improv. And, you know, Denver Improv this week, Thursday through Sunday. Hey.
And
you're going to be in the Caribbean June 12th to July 21st. Arubacomedy.com. Come see and say
Aruba
hello.
Ray.
And Dan will be there too.
I will tell you, those shows are excellent in Aruba.
Thank you.
I love Esty's faces, man.
Thank you, Noah.
Esty just does it.